Welcome back to Sauce on the Side. For those who like to double dip.
Ah.
Is that? Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll try that. If you have a better idea for a tagline, let us know. But so far, Sauce on the Side for those that like to double dip is the line. Nevertheless.
Love it.
How's it going, Michael?
Good, Mark. How are you?
It's Tuesday. I'm going on holidays tomorrow. I have never been more happy in my entire life.
I'd say you're counting down the minutes.
Genuinely, I have that giddiness. It's like the akin to walk into the pub or the bar, wherein the giddiness that you have then is better than the expectations that my brain is creating for this holiday are so wildly superior. Reality could never possibly meet these expectations. So invariably, I'll be disappointed. And in fact, why even bother going in the first place? So I'm not going on holidays. It's over. Nevertheless, guys, Taylor Swift got married.
The biggest wedding of the year?
Biggest wedding of the last 20 years.
Okay.
And I am not interested in people going, oh, as if, is this what people care about? Yep, it is. It is what people care about. It's what people are talking about. And it's the whole metaphor, or whatever the analogy is, of complaining about traffic when you're in traffic, you are traffic, okay? Mm-hmm. And I make this point whenever I'm chatting to Maeve, shortly the head of the Irish Swiftie Association. But we are what we pay our attention to, okay? And society is the same. Society becomes what it pays its attention to. Taylor Swift, the Kardashians, all of these people, and they're very, very different, of course, but you know, these people get and receive, they don't necessarily demand, but they command an enormous amount of attention. So it is only normal that whenever something like a marriage happens, that people pay attention towards it. I'm not interested in the, oh, I can't believe this is, yeah, well, cool, stop watching it then. Do you know what I mean, though?
No, I do.
It's too easy for people to just ridicule it, particularly and like attack the fandom when they're not involved in it. But like we looked at Oasis last year, the entire universe shut down.
Best night of my life, man.
Do you know what I mean? Guys in their 40s saying it was a better day than the day that their children were born. Getting to see the two Gallagher brothers out on stage again. And fair enough, it was for some.
Completely.
So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it has to go both ways.
So I'm really interested in the Swiftverse. And I have been Swiftsphere. I suppose I have been for a while because I'm interested in any community that sort of transcends the original purpose of gathering. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? So as in like what Taylor Swift does is she's an artist, she's multi award winning Grammy, you know, actress, artist, everything. Mm. Okay. She's prolific songwriter, all the rest. But there's that. And then there's people who appreciate that. And then there are people who have come together as a result of their appreciation for the music, but have now come together in very other ways and various other ways. I was at the Taylor Swift concert in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin.
You dipped your toe into the Swiftosphere.
And it was remarkable in the sense that it was like, in terms of the audience, it was quite ceremonial. Like there were people embracing who didn't know each other. There were particularly younger girls, which is so lovely to watch. Like there were this whole thing about exchanging friendship bracelets. There was like kids running up rows giving them to other random kids. Like it was bizarre. Taylor Swift and I guess another country artist, not that Taylor's exclusively country anymore, but Garth Brooks, that had that same sense of this isn't just a gig, this is a defining sort of cultural moment for a massive community.
Sure.
And there is a common ground here that transcends what your personality is like outside of the arena and your job or your life or whatever. So I'm fascinated by it.
Okay.
The wedding, people seem to be surprised with Madison Square Garden. I wasn't.
Were you not?
I think it makes perfect sense that if you want to go somewhere that's absolutely secure and safe, which at the end of the day, the woman is a billionaire who, it would be a safety issue for her to be anywhere that, you know, the likes of the paparazzi or other people could get access to her. Mm. Like, that's the level of success and fame that she has. And I think there's nowhere she could go in the world. Nowadays, with tech, there is nowhere she could go in the world that a drone wouldn't get access to or, you know, more nefarious people. So I think going somewhere right in the center of New York City and having it completely shut down as in Madison Square Garden, I think is, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I suppose I didn't think about it that way. When I first heard Madison Square Garden, I wondered, was it to have such a, like,
not a distraction or something?
Yeah, or also, but like to have such a big crowd. Like, I don't mean fans. I mean like hundreds of people. Because obviously, she is so massive within the music industry that like, there's probably, that guest list is probably endless. Mm. And even with Kelsey as well, you know, within football, like they have two massive cohorts of groups of people who they want to be there. I didn't know if it was for scale or for privacy, but the privacy does make a lot of sense.
I would have suspected for privacy largely, but also, you know, we get these things where people go, oh, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that on my wedding day. Yeah, but like, you're not Taylor Swift though. You're Janine from Maynooth. Like, there's a difference. There's a difference. None of us can imagine what it feels like to be in the context. It's like with Tiger Woods or anybody that's achieved a level of stardom that is so incomprehensible, even to normal, when I say normal, run-of-the-mill Oscar winners or Grammy Award-winning artists. Like, the levels of stardom that Taylor Swift or Tiger Woods or certain people like this have achieved is... we can never understand what that's like. So we can't put ourselves in her position.
No, that's very true. And she probably has any amount of advisors and has done
exactly
research. Like, she's not just picking it on.
This is, she goes, oh, let's see. Is the function room of McGowan's, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Nevertheless, I don't think myself or yourself are educated enough on the matter of Swift to give a Swift delivery of or a breakdown of the wedding.
No.
So I think I wanted to get into this. I wanted to look into the sort of universe of Swifties in Ireland. And I did a bit of digging online and we got in touch with Maeve, who is the head of the Irish Swiftie Association. Mm-hmm. And she's joining us today in the show. And it's quite interesting. Like, it is interesting. I don't know if many of you guys, from my DMs last week, it seems like a lot of you are Swifties. So that's great that there is a correlation. But Maeve came on. She's actually currently starring in a musical in Belfast called Delicate, which has got the entire, all of the music in the musical is Taylor Swift's music, which is fantastic. And we're going to put a link to that in the bio of today's app. But yeah, it's an interesting conversation. It's interesting to learn about things that we know nothing about.
Absolutely.
So there you go, guys. Enjoy the chat with Maeve. This is Sauce on the Side. For those who like a double dip, I don't know if I don't like that. I don't like the slogan, I don't think.
It's a bit
like an ad for a takeaway or something, or, you know, I don't know. Can we do better? Let me know. Anyway, guys, without further ado, here's our chat with the head of the Irish Taylor Swift Association. Have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow for the Weekly Roast. All the best. Guys, you are very welcome back to Sauce on the Side. Today is a spectacularly special episode because today we have Maeve Broderick, who is the head of the Irish Swiftie Association, a legitimate governing body, in the studio to join us. Maeve, how are you getting on?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm very well. Listen, this is, firstly, thank you for joining us. It's obviously, you're a busy woman at the moment, what with the wedding that's just happened, but then also you are currently writing and scoring a Taylor Swift musical, right?
Well, I'm not in the creative team on the musical. I'm in the cast of the musical. But yes, so it's a busy, busy weekend. We've had all the news this past weekend of the royal wedding, as it was last Friday. And then also, yes, I'm up in Belfast and I'm part of this musical called Delicate, a new musical, which was written. It's a brand new story written by Dermot and Victoria McLaughlin up here. And it all is scored by the music of the one Taylor Swift.
Wow. Well, we're going to include the link to that at the end of the show. Thank you so much again for joining us. Listen, I would love the purpose of this conversation, let me be very clear, okay? I am fascinated with the culture of fandom in general and also more specifically the Swifties, because obviously you guys are, I would say, like, definitely the biggest fan, well, probably the biggest fandom in the world, but also the most, to use words like, is extreme, would you say, and dedicated? Is that dedicated's probably a better word?
I would say dedicated, yeah. Like, I think there's, you can definitely kind of equate it to the likes of like the Beatles and Michael Jackson back in the day. But I think today Swifties are a very dedicated group of people. But it's also, it's nearly more of just a community and a very kind of supportive group of people that we will support Taylor, but it's nearly more grown beyond her in a way that it's a community of people that
transcends the artist, and there's like the original purpose that you came together was the shared enjoyment of her music, but that community has evolved since then. And I mean, I think, like, could you give me that? That's sort of what interests me in the fact that, like, I love a community wherein people who are entirely different to each other and would, you know, on paper perhaps never spend time together, come together and support each other because there is this like common goal that is greater than themselves. And I have a huge, huge vested interest in communities like that. Can you give me just like a brief history first for about Swifties in Ireland, but then also to somebody who is, I mean, let's be honest, the very few listeners who won't be aware of what a Swiftie is. Can you give us like a brief intro into Swifties overall and then the history of Swifties in Ireland?
Yes, well, so I think Swifties has evolved a lot over the years, I think specifically due to social media. So looking at it now is very different to how it was maybe 10 years ago, you know, just 20 years of her career now. But I think the Eras Tour is what really made Swifties kind of solidify themselves as this kind of long-lasting community group. So like being a Swiftie, it's obviously, yes, you enjoy her music, but there is a community element to it, which definitely came, I think, from the Eras Tour. People saw each other getting dressed up, making the friendship bracelets, which came from her song, Make the Friendship Bracelets, in You're On Your Own, Kid. So I think it developed over time because people were seeing people maybe in America doing it on TikTok. And then when she came over to Europe, it nearly exploded even more because we were all getting up watching the live streams. So, for example, I started the Irish Swiftie Society group after the European leg was done. And because the Eras Tour was my hobby for a while, which is a weird thing to say, because I was making the friendship bracelets, making my outfits, planning ahead. And when I didn't have that, I felt a loss. I felt a bit of a gap in my life. So, and, you know, before, I will say, I got my tickets through the midnight pre-sale, which was a sale that was announced before there was any talk of a tour. It was basically, if you bought your Midnight's album or if you signed up for this back in October 2023, you would have access to tickets. So it was actually one of the easiest ticket purchasing processes I've ever had. So I initially bought one for Edinburgh and then two for the Saturday and Sunday in Dublin. And then at 2 o'clock on the Friday, I managed to get myself a last minute ticket to go by myself on the Friday night. And I said I would, and I put together another outfit. So I went all four nights and it was...
And did you go solo to all four?
No, so I have three sisters. All four of us went on the Saturday and Sunday, and it was a really lovely kind of group experience. We're all massive Swifties and it's kind of a shared thing. You know, we have a lot of different interests, but that's one thing that kind of brings the four of us together. But on the Friday night, I did go by myself and I didn't feel for once like I was alone. Like I was surrounded by other people. There was this sort of, it was just a little bubble. I kind of often say it's kind of what I imagine. It's the closest we'll ever get to like a matriarchal society where it's just all women. Just nobody felt afraid to be themselves. Everyone was dressed up and like just feeling every bit of that show. And it's a 3-hour production. It's like going to see a musical on the West End or something. It's a full-on production. So like it was one of the best weekends of my life.
So what then constitutes somebody being quote unquote Swiftie? More like I think Taylor Swift is a genius, of course, musically, and the career she's built is just mind blowing. And career as much as community, you know, it's once in a generation, of course. But I like the term Swiftie. What constitutes what's the sort of what's the word I'm looking for? What is the requirements to be an actual Swiftie?
I don't think there's any specific requirements, because there will be a lot of people that are Swifties that maybe just are there for the music and don't maybe indulge in the lore, as we say. Whereas there are other people that, like myself, that will kind of love to talk about different elements of what she's doing in her life. But for the most part, Swifties, I think we get a bad rep for being kind of crazy and obsessed. But especially this past weekend, the kind of general consensus a lot of people have is like, they like to hear about what she's doing from her and anything that she wants to give us and feed us. But we're very conscious of not wanting things about her life leaked in a way that she doesn't want to be leaked. So there are a lot of different, I think, qualifiers that make you Swiftie.
What platforms do you guys communicate on then?
WhatsApp was the main one. So we have, I set up the group on Instagram, but then we have two WhatsApp groups currently, because I'm from Cork, but I live in Belfast. So there's a group in Belfast that has about 100 people in it. And there is about maybe 50 people in the Cork one. So it's mainly just used to chat and back and forth. And it's great for, like, if I've not been on social media, I'll still get my updates about if there's new merch dropping or if she's releasing new music or if there's been hints about something. But it's also a great way. There are often events up here and kind of around Ireland called Swiftageddons, which I think kind of came from the Eras tour, but they still go on now, where it's a club night where they exclusively play Taylor Swift music. And it's kind of a nice throwback to the Eras tour, where it's again, you could go on a night out. You don't feel like you need to drink. You don't have to be worried about what you're doing or anything. You can wear whatever you want. And it's all of these Swifties of different levels. Again, like, some people are just there to enjoy the music. Some people are there who know every single word to all the songs. But that's kind of where the initial reason I made the group was because I wanted people to go to these Swiftageddons with me. And it's just a really lovely group now that people are constantly messaging in, and there's a great support system as well, for, you know, if there's any other things happening in people's lives. And then it's used to kind of, if there's ever any events or anything in Belfast or Cork that people want to go to together, it's a great way to find fellow Swifties.
Amazing. How much money would you say you've spent on Taylor Swift directly and indirectly over the last 20 years?
Oh, God. Well, I'm not a vinyl collector, so at least I will say I save a bit of money there. Yeah. But I do like to buy at least one version of each CD she releases. And I
now
buy the cardigan.
You still buy a CD?
I'll still buy a CD, mainly because for the Eras tour, it helped me get my tickets. So I can't take that risk ever again of not buying one. But I like to indulge in some of the cardigans she releases, which is probably the biggest one. So it would be about 70 quid for a cardigan every, maybe once a year, twice a year.
Okay.
It could be maybe close to 1,000 in the last 10 years or so, but which.
Okay. But that's like, look, time, as far as, yeah, you know, people have hobbies, and I don't think it's not an extortionate amount of money. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you're losing, or your ability to live financially, that is. But, you know, it's not like your livelihood is being compromised as a result of the fandom. Do you know what I mean? I feel like sometimes there could be suggestions made that in fandoms, particularly like Swifties, you know, that they're buying concert tickets before they can pay their gas bill. But actually, you know, if you're the head of the Irish Swiftie Society, and €1,000 over 10 years, like, that's not, okay, even if it's 2,000, it's still not like a crazy amount of money. Like, if you were interested in going to the gym, or if you were interested in, you know, horseback riding or whatever, if you were to spend 200 quid a year on a hobby that really brings you the extent of the pleasure that brings you and covers the basis of, like, community, socializing, nights out, gigs, that feeling of sense, safety, a place that you can, like, go to if you're having troubles in your personal life. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it's, as a flat fee, it's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's an estimation, and I obviously can't speak for everyone. I'm sure there are some people that are, you know, using credit cards to buy things and stuff, but I'm very careful of, you know, I'll only buy what's within my means, and I do try to be selective and things like that. And I am quite precious over the merch that I have. I might not wear it out that much. It's kind of more of a collector's item. But, you know, there definitely probably is that element, especially when the tour was going on, of people kind of maybe buying tickets beyond their means. But for the most part, you don't need to spend anything to be a Swiftie. You can just enjoy the music and enjoy the community, and that's all there is to it.
And then how do you, I'm quite interested in, like, how do you guys deal with, say, if there's a controversy elsewhere in the sort of, is a Swiftverse, or, like, what would you call it, like, the in the Swiftie sort of
Swiftie sphere, Swiftieverse,
in the Swiftie sphere, you know, do you guys sort of have a chat and say, right, like, this is, like, this is a disappointing thing that happened in Michigan, just to use a random I'm making that up, you know, but, you know, a random place, something's happened, do you guys come together and say, like, this is our narrative on us, or how does that work?
I mean, we're always very aware and, like, open to, you know, discussing, like, maybe not always agreeing with what she does politically or whatever, or maybe what she doesn't do politically in that sense. Yeah. And we're, you know, we're always very aware of kind of not being fully behind everything she does. But at the same time, you know, we're kind of there. We're like, we're here for the music, and we'll acknowledge things amongst ourselves and kind of have a little bit of a chat around it. But we do try to, because there's so much stuff going on in the world. We try not, we don't really try not to discuss anything that doesn't relate to her, if that makes sense. You know, if there's any big world things happening, we try to keep it Taylor Swift focused, but we will always acknowledge any disappointments.
So I can't get a comment from you on the housing crisis, because I really want to get the Irish Swiftie Associate. I need an answer now. I need answers. As a country, you need to solve this shit, Maeve.
Oh, well, I wish I could. That's my next goal. That's the Irish Housing Association Society will be the next goal.
So come here to me. The wedding. Let's get straight into it, okay? Mm-hmm. Obviously, first things first, I really resent the sarcastic way in which some media outlets were referring to this wedding. And I do resent the way in which I resent the way in which celebrities like Taylor Swift are often ridiculed for the likes of the privacy seeking. And it's like, you know, the most expensive thing we could ever give anybody is our attention, right? That is the most valuable thing that any of us have, is giving something or someone our attention. People are giving these, like, so even people who aren't fans of Taylor Swift, they are paying attention to her every move and they're writing about it. And then they are, by the way, like, suffocating her existence to the extent that she has to seek privacy in places. But then they're actually laughing at her for wanting to have privacy. And that, for me, is enraging, because there is only one reason, as far as I'm aware, that she would have chosen to get married in Madison Square Garden, and that's because that she wants to celebrate the best day of her life, yes, do you know what I mean, the best day of her life yet, with her husband to be in privacy. Like, that would seem fairly straightforward to me, and I didn't like people scoffing at it. By the way, they scoff at her for doing that, meanwhile they're running videos around it 24 hours around the day proving the point that she needs the privacy.
Yeah, and I think that's the case with Taylor Swift in general. Is I'm all open to hearing about people who don't like her music and aren't a fan of Taylor Swift, but sometimes you hear more from people who don't like her than from people that do like her, because it becomes their personality trait to roll their eyes at everything she does. And I get she can never do anything right, because there's always going to be somebody ridiculing her. But I fully understood, like, to be honest, I was quite skeptical that the Madison Square Garden thing was going to be happening until the day before, when we saw everything,
like,
going on
in the underground tunnels of Swift. What was the crack?
It was mixed. I think most of us were just kind of in disbelief that this was the route she was taking. We kind of imagined that it would be a much more intimate affair. But then when it was happening, like, I fully understood why she did it, because anywhere she went, if she wanted an outside garden wedding, which is supposedly what she made Madison Square Garden look like, that it looked like it was transformed into this kind of whimsical fairy garden like place. If she wanted that anywhere else, there would have been drones flying overhead.
That's exactly it.
Things coming out. So I fully understand why she took this approach, because yes, it was like a public thing then, but it was as private as she could make it, because it was a fully enclosed stadium. You couldn't get any cameras in. So I think we were all a little bit skeptical kind of in the last couple of weeks, because I think it's been rumored for a couple of months, like July 4th weekend, Madison Square Garden. So it was only, I was very skeptical, I have to say. I just didn't see this as the romantic thing. But then the more people talked about it, I realized she has all the money in the world to make Madison Square Garden whatever she wants. It's kind of a blank canvas. Mm. So we were, there was a bit of a mixed bag of things. But most people, as I was kind of saying earlier, most people were very excited that the wedding was happening, but actually didn't really want to see anything from it. We wanted anything that came from it to be from her, from like photos directly from the source. And we didn't really care about the paparazzi stuff, because it was all just drones of a building from outside anyway. There was nothing to see.
Oh, and like, all, by the way, like the BBC coverage, like, and this is as close as the Americans, of course, will ever come to having a royal wedding. I hope you're not in the royalties as well. I hope you're not in some royal community, because then I'm goose. But the Brits and their royal wedding stuff just drives me insane.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. True, it's the closest there ever will be to a royal wedding in the US, but it's not a royal wedding. It's Taylor Swift's wedding, and it is probably the biggest wedding they will have. But it was still, you know, sources from inside said it felt very intimate. It was obviously a public affair, but nobody saw what was inside except the 1,000 guests who were inside.
Who would you say would win in a fight, right? If there was a fight between all of the top fandoms, okay? And like, say you've got like the Swifties, then you've got obviously like listeners to this podcast, the Roasties. You've got the Roasties, and then you've got the Swifties. Then you've got like the Beehive, sort of Swiftie versus Beehive. Okay, Roasties will take a back seat in this one, the both of them, you know, but in the Swifties and the Beehive, who would you say, like, who would win in, who would be, or sorry, let me ask this in a less moronic fashion. Are the Swifties the biggest fandom in the universe?
I would probably say yes. I think a lot of other fandoms are quite localized. I think like the Beehive is massive, but maybe more so in the US. But I think Swifties are an international thing. I don't want anyone to come for me now for claiming it, but I definitely think we're up there. We're definitely up there.
Respect to all the fandoms. Last but not least, because this has been very insightful, and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And again, we wish you very well with the performance in Delicate. And we'll link the tickets below here so the audience can know if they want to go and see you. When you, in your personal life, okay, beyond the being a Swiftie, do you let your colleagues, your friends, in relationships, does it play a role? Like, is that one of the first things that you let people know? Go, by the way, like, I'm a Swiftie, do you know?
I mean, it's not on my LinkedIn, but it is on my Hinge.
It's on your Hinge. Okay.
I think it's a very good litmus test for people to see whether they roll their eyes or not. But it's not something I like intentionally tell people, but it comes out very quickly.
Yeah. Well, that's understandable if it's a massive hobby. Have you ever met her?
Oh, no. I hope to someday. But I think I would like to meet her in like a professional capacity. I don't want to meet her as a fan. I would like to meet her in some sort of professional sphere where we could be friends.
Well, can I break your heart?
Oh, I don't know. I'm ready for it.
I was leaving the studio. No, she's not going to come in. Taylor! I was leaving the studio about a year ago. Era's tour in Dublin. And three vans, blacked out vans, with the massive police escort. And there she was. Got stopped at the traffic lights. She rolls down the window.
Oh.
Megan. I fucking love the roast, mate. Cheers, Tails. And off she went.
Get on a t-shirt.
So, yeah, might as well do. Listen, Maeve, that went down like an absolute lead. But Lizzie, nevertheless, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a complete pleasure. As I said, best of luck at the show. And best of luck with all things Swiftie. It's so interesting to hear about how these communities work. And by the way, well done. Like, any community that is helping people, particularly young women, feel safe.